One misconception is that the guidance counselors are pushing and the schools are pushing students towards college. That's a misconception. And also the misconception is that the parents want the students to go to college, their children to go to college. Not necessarily the case. They just want to see that there's good opportunities and for their children and a good future for them. That's what they want to see. And the business partners are able to show that.
Being on NGT Talks today, Jake. We are happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and where you teach, and a little bit about your history.
I do teach in Anne Arundel County in Maryland, Center of Applied Technology North. I teach a medium and heavy truck program. And with that, the program is certified by ASE Education Foundation. It is also recognized, it's AED Associated Equipment Distributors. They work with off-highway equipment. So the program is recognized by them also.
Great. I didn't realize you guys, so you're recognized by both the ASE Foundation and the AED group.
Yes, so they have a foundation also, but they
The
focus
foundation.
on off-highway equipment.
Very good.
So it's another opportunity for the for high school programs.
How many schools across the country have both of those certifications?
Not many.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, there's not a lot. The AED is not as recognizable as ASE, but they're getting more recognition now and they're growing. And we were the first high school program to get high school recognition across the country. And I think they're probably up to about 10 or 12 now.
Great. I was with them at the School Counselors Association, their convention this summer. So they're a great group of people.
Yes.
So one of the things that's interesting that you mentioned is you are now called the medium heavy duty truck program. You used to be called, I want to say, the diesel program. Tell me
Yes.
the evolution of the name, and why you chose a new name.
One big reason is because of the changes in the industry. There's quickly going to electric and hydrogen power, even off-highway equipment. That's growing.
Wow, so you're starting to look to prepare your students for these electric vehicles that are coming down the pipeline and even hydrogen fuel cells.
Oh yeah. And I think it was time to change. Even ASE has recognized that they added high voltage electrical systems to the electrical task for the medium heavy trucks. And typically they start out with priority. They have priority one, two, and three. Priority three is the lower level task, and less of those have to be taught. With the high voltage electrical systems, they started out with P1. So that just tells you how quickly and fast the industry is changing.
Well, it's really exciting. And I was really happy to be a part of that conversation when you had it, I think over a year ago, is do we keep our name as Diesel Tech Program, knowing that we're really shifting to electric vehicles and hydrogen fuel cells? And I think you guys did a great thing by changing it to medium duty truck. What is medium heavy duty truck, right?
Medium heavy duty truck and equipment
What
technology.
was your history before you were the teacher at the Center of Applied Technology North?
Out of high school, I did go to Lincoln Tech for their automotive program. I went to work for Ryder Truck Rental, and I worked for Ryder for 14 years in a couple different aspects. I did get into management before I left Ryder Truck Rental.
Gotcha. So you were in the industry, and you learned all things trucks, even management. And then you decided, hey, I want to teach and share my skill set with others.
One thing I did enjoy when I worked for Ryder was I supervised the third shift, and it was less it was a little more slow paced. We did a lot of work, but it was a little more slow paced. So when they hired on new technicians, they would put them with on my shift for me to train them. So I enjoyed that, sharing my knowledge and working with the technicians that they hired on. But I also got to learn that some of the technicians advance quicker than others, and not everybody was an individual. And some of them needed more assistance than others, and some of them came to us with a little more knowledge than other technicians were hired on. So and I enjoyed that aspect.
That's fantastic. But you learned at that point that you do like this teaching thing and you started working for the school you did now. Did you open up the program or was there a teacher there before you that started it?
There was teachers here before me, so it
Okay.
wasn't a new program, but it had a lot to grow. It wasn't what I envisioned.
And really, how did you start your advisory board? Were there any things that you wish you would have known that you know now? And what can you tell these teachers who maybe have been doing it for a year? Maybe they've been doing it for 5 years, but you've got that 23-year experience. What kind of things can you share with them?
Well, one thing it doesn't, when I first started, I wanted to make major changes in the beginning. And one thing I did learn was it's not going to happen overnight. It's got to happen over time. And the program did slowly grow into what it is now. And there was a lot of resources that I didn't have in the beginning. But we slowly added those resources, and that's one reason it's important to have an advisory committee, because they have input on it, and a lot of them have provided donations and support to get us where we're get the program where it is.
So, how is your advisory committee structured?
We do have two meetings per year, and that's required by ASE, that we have two advisory meetings per year. And one's usually in the fall and one in the spring. And we do have a second, we have another center in the counties, programs that are mirrored in the at the other center, to hold one at one center and one at the other center. So that's we don't have that with the medium heavy truck program. We have one at one school. There's a lot more automotive tech programs than there is medium heavy truck programs. But the so but there is some similarities, some things that that the programs can work together, but it definitely is a different, the medium heavy truck industry is a different industry, no question. So that, and it is a separate program. When I first started, it was part of the auto tech program at our school,
Okay.
and we did finally, and that came with the advisory committee. I recommended that we separated the programs, and at first the our CTE coordinator for the county, in a meeting, he expressed that he didn't think that it would be successful, and one of the advisory board committees spoke up and said that he commended me for not doing things just because that's the way it's always been done. That I was thinking outside the box, and they did listen to committee, and they separated the programs, and it's been successful.
That's great. So you have two meetings a year.
Yes.
Tell me the spring meeting is probably, or I'm sorry, the fall meeting is probably coming up soon.
Yes.
Tell me what you guys do in the fall meeting.
We do have an agenda that's put together, and one with the agenda, we do try to follow what ASE requires, because they do have some things that they required it or addressed in the advisory committee meetings. So, and they do have an agenda, a sample agenda that they have on their website, right on the ASE Education Foundation website. It's a sample, so it's not, you can modify it and change it, but it does follow what the standards that they, what they expect from an advisory board committee meeting.
So typically in that fall meeting, what do you guys do?
One thing, we discuss where the program is and the current accomplishments. And we do discuss the events that are going to take place during the school year, some of the events. And we also, one thing that is required as far as the ASE is discussing the budget, the program budget. And we also, any large purchases have to be recommended and approved by the, in the minutes by the advisory board.
So in your advisory board meeting, you're discussing the previous advisory board meeting, you're going over the budget, you're talking to a student, and that's in the fall meeting. Is the spring meeting structured the same?
It is structured the same.
And when do the advisory board members, when do they start interacting with students? Do you all have a career fair? How does all that work?
We do have an open house in the fall, which is coming up in October, and they try to keep the date consistent. This is the third Thursday in October. And that way, I do send it out to the business partners, the date, but they try to keep it consistent.
That way, is that school-wide that does the open house?
Yes. That school, it's school wide. So the students, parents, and we usually get former students, current students, prospective students. So they do advertise it to the middle school parents also.
Great. So you have an open house, you have employers come, you have students, parents, the teachers and administrators of the school are all there. And they're starting to build relationships. Do the employers have tables with promotional things there, or is it just kind of talking?
They do. And the parents, it's informal. The parents have an opportunity to go around, and students have an opportunity to go around and talk to the business partners. And one misconception is that the guidance counselors are pushing, and the schools are pushing students towards college. That's a misconception. And also the misconception is that the parents want the students to go to college, their children to go to college. Not necessarily the case. They just want to see that there's good opportunities and for their children and a good future for them. That's what they want to see. And the business partners are able to show that and showcase that.
If I'm a student, how many years am I going to get trained to be a medium heavy duty truck technician?
We do have a ninth grade exploratory program. It's where they get to spend 4 weeks in each program that they have an interest in. So they get to see what the programs are about, and that's optional. It's not required. And then they do get credit for it. And then they apply for the level one programs in their 10th grade year. And they're with the ninth grade exploratory program, there's not a selection process. They accept all students. With the level one program, there is a application process and a selection process. They look at their GPA, their attendance, behavior, those things, and they put them in three different pathways. And depending on the program, will the they're going to fill the programs with the Pathway 1 students first. And once they fill them with the Pathway 1 students, then they go to Pathway 2. And then the students with the lower GPA, those would be the last group that they select. So, like I said, there is a selection process, and I try to express that to the students and make sure they understand that.
Do you, so they start as a junior with you?
Yes.
Okay. And so they're studying for 2 years. And do a lot of your employers offer summer internships? Do you have work-based learning opportunities?
The summer internships, that's actually been growing. One of the business partners, there's a large group that's, and that's kind of what's changing with our industry now, is a lot of the dealerships are, there's larger groups that are buying up the dealerships.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, there's a trend happening. And I actually heard that, can't remember when, but I don't know what, but they were talking about that on one of the radio stations when I was coming to work one morning. They were talking about smaller companies being bought up by larger groups. And that's happening with the automotive industry, the medium heavy truck industry. Yeah, there's a big trend with that. But one of the groups, they offered in a summer camp for the students. And one of my students participated in that. I haven't had the opportunity when he comes back to talk with him about his experience. But he was able to spend 2 weeks with them. And this group is owned by the owner of the Baltimore Ravens. At the end of that, they had an opportunity for the participants or the students to attend their the Ravens their boot camp.
Oh, how fun. I bet not very many people have the luxury of owning a professional team, but if you do, think of some fun things that you can do for that. Great.
One of the students, there was some fun activities were involved in that. One of the students was, he was saying, I thought this was, because when they were presenting it, he was like, I thought it was all work related, but everything doesn't have to be all work related. I mean, they're trying to draw interest from the students. And so some of the employers are doing things, activities like that to help with their recruiting. They are. And at the end of that summer boot camp, the top student, I don't know how they selected them, but they get a toolbox and tools.
Wow, that's incredible. So
That's just some of the things that some of these employers are doing.
That's incredible. How many students were in that boot camp? Do you know?
Typically, it was 6 to 8. That was the first time we had a student participate in it.
That's great.
It was the first student to participate in it.
Do you know if there was an age limit? You have to be 16, 17, 18?
They did have to be at least 16.
Okay.
And that's one of the things that are that holds us up in our industry is the age limit and insurance requirements. Right. Because when our students finish our program, typically they're 17 years old. So they're not quite 18 yet.
And was this a paid boot camp or just more of an exploratory boot camp?
It was paid. It was a paid opportunity. So they also got paid to...
Incredible.
Participate in the boot camp. Yeah, so they did. It was a paid opportunity. Not all these opportunities are paid, but that one was a paid opportunity.
What a great way to get your students interested in building that culture from within. And I hope that they're not just creating that culture, recruiting them and then sending them to the wolves, but recruiting them and continuing offering good activities and fun and investing in those students and hopefully employees when they hire them as employees.
Yeah, one thing that ASE has also is, and we do have a work-based learning program here at our school, and a lot of schools do. But with ASE, it was started by the manufacturers. It's called AYES, Automotive Youth Education Systems.
Mm-hmm.
It was started by them, and during a downturn in the economy, the manufacturers were going to fold it, and ASE took it over. So it's part of ASE now. So the programs can be part of AYES. It's a mentoring program, a mentorship program.
So you have your meeting in the fall. You have a career fair open house in the fall around the same time. And then tell me about your spring meeting. Do you only have one spring meeting, and you, is that all you do in the spring, or do you do anything else?
We do, last year, our guidance department, they coordinated an apprenticeship, fair. So a lot of the employers are offering apprenticeship programs now also. And that's part of, what a lot of the, another thing that the employers are doing to help grow recruitment is apprenticeship programs.
And so in the spring, you have your advisory board meeting, but yeah. Then you also have an apprenticeship fair where yeah. The students can come and talk about summer apprenticeship programs.
Yes. Yes. So, and a lot, like I said, a lot of employers have gotten their apprenticeship programs approved by the State Department of Labor
mm-hmm.
and also the Federal Department of Labor. And with the youth apprenticeship programs, some of the employers have a different name for it. But what they can do is they have a structured apprenticeship program for adults. And what happens is with the youth apprenticeship program, some of them call it a pre-apprenticeship program.
Mm-hmm.
They count those hours and training towards their apprenticeship program when the students graduate.
And hopefully for the summer, they'll have an apprenticeship, a paid apprenticeship.
Yeah.
And they're going to be learning more skills throughout the summer.
And throughout their senior year, that's another opportunity for them. They can get credit for the work-based learning program over the summer and also throughout their senior year. In the state of Maryland, they have what they call blueprint money. And what they're doing is they're investing one part of that. They're investing into career and technology education programs. And a big part of that is they're putting a lot of money into the state-approved youth apprenticeship programs. And one thing our CTE coordinator was just discussing was they will pay for any tools, equipment, and supplies and uniforms and those things that the students need to participate in one of the approved youth apprenticeship programs.
Well, so if I'm an employer in the state of Maryland and I want to adopt a apprenticeship program through the Department of Labor, who do I contact?
They can contact the State Department of Labor directly, or they can go the other option. They can go right to their website and search for youth apprenticeship programs. Mm-hmm. And there's an application process, and then it's a pretty easy application process, but there are some steps. They have to visit the employer and go over some guidelines with them. But our work-based learning coordinators, they can work with the employers and the State Department of Labor to help them with that process.
Very good. So let's shift a little bit and tell me how you manage your advisory board meetings. You have an online option. So
yes.
Somebody can virtually come in to your meeting, or you have, or in person. So it's a hybrid meeting.
Before COVID, it was just in person. And during COVID, they went to, because a lot of employers weren't allowing their employees to attend meetings and events and things like that. So they were doing virtual only. Then they did go to, when we went back to in-person meetings, they made the decision to offer virtual, the option, virtually or in person.
How do you manage your advisory board? Who's going to be included? Is everybody welcome? And how do you manage emailing them about the meetings and communications?
A lot of it is, a lot of the invitations now are done by creating meetings in Outlook. That's one thing I do. And to send out email invitations. So that's probably the easiest way to do things. And what I've done also is the employers that have replied, yes or maybe, I've had a students, or back then it was student that would participate. We've gone to offering it to more than one student. But I have them make personal phone calls to the employers and just remind them and introduce themselves and remind them of the meeting, the upcoming meeting.
So are there any other things that you do that you want to share with other teachers?
I know it does. Every program is different. And the amount of support that the programs get from the school and administration, I know they're going to differ from school to school. We're fortunate here that I don't even have to schedule the meetings. They schedule the meetings for us because they have advisor meetings for all programs across the school. So they've got to spread them out and they got to make sure that there's no conflict with other things. And they also, the culinary department provides lunch for the in-person participants and they do a wonderful job. And they always do a knockout job with it. Because last year, one of the meetings, the students weren't going to be here that day. They didn't plan it that way, but they weren't going to be here because of something. But they catered it. So they did cater it from a local business, but they provided lunch for the participants.
Well, thank you for being on our podcast today. And I hope that anybody that might have questions or they need help with their advisory board will watch this and they can come to me, Lindsay at nextgentrucking.org, and I can get you all connected if they might have some questions for you. Are there resources that you want to share with the listeners too? Of websites that they can go to get ideas on advisory boards or on their medium heavy duty truck program?
Yeah. Under the ASE Education Foundation website, aseeducationfoundation.org, under resources, there's a tab that says advisory committee, and they have advisory committee sample agenda, how to successfully establish an effective CTE advisory committee webinar, helpful hints about advisory committees, advisory committee meeting minutes, suggestions as far as the meeting minutes, and they actually got a committee handbook. So they've done, and all of those resources were put together by the business industry.
Well, thank you for being on the show today. And I just think that a lot of people will get great information from your program and what you've done for 23 years. That's incredible. Thank you for investing in the future of trucking and the youth and helping them find a great career path that hopefully they will stay in and have a long, good life as people in the trucking industry.
Thank you. And look forward to meeting with you again. Thanks. Thank you.